All right. So yeah, so now we're going to move on to the next sort of core part of doing your migration. So we've looked at doing some of the server roles and that sort of thing, moving those across. But the next sort of really core part is certainly Active Directory. And as sort of, we were joking about before, Active Directory is certainly a very important part of what makes up the glue that holds together everything within our sort of environment. So previously, in the previous session, Pierre looked at doing the migration of the 2003 sort of environment, so 2003 doing migration of AD and that sort of thing within there. So what I'm going to cover within here is actually doing a 2008 or 2008 R2 environment and migrating that across to a 2012 R2. A lot of the challenges and that sort of thing and the knowledge kind of transfers back and forth anyway. Obviously, the procedure is different because it's so much simpler now to be able to do it going from a 2008 environment than it was from a 2003 environment. So it's a lot easier. But the basic sort of steps that you need to do, the idea of what you need to put in a place before you go in, is still going to be the same. So we're going to cover across things like some of the migration challenges that we've got. We're also going to have a look at things like the requirements, so what we need to have put in place before we get to the point of actually doing our migration. And because Active Directory is such a core part of everything that we do within within the Windows environment, if we've got a Microsoft environment, if we're living within there, then if we don't have AD, then we're pretty much, we don't have anything.
We haven't got anything.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to have a look at the requirements. We're going to make sure that we cover across those and then look at the actual process. And in part of that, we're actually going to do a live migration from, I shouldn't say live migration because that has other connotations now within the Microsoft world, but we're going to actually migrate from our AD from 2008 across to a 2012 environment, and hopefully with no more red than what Macca had in his WSUS environment. All right, so let's have a look then. The migration challenges, the things that we actually are going to be, that we're going to come across that are going to be issues that we need to make sure we look at and cover off before we get put into place. Okay. So one of the key things that we need to look at is uptime. Mm. Yeah, hey, look, as we said, with the challenges that we've got in actually putting a migration in place is that in order to be able to migrate our Windows Active Directory environment, we're still going to have people connecting. We're still going to have people that are actually using the environment and relying on it for all the services and that sort of thing. So we want to try and make it as seamless as possible. Mm. So users are still going to be connecting, users still need to authenticate, users still need to be able to get, log into their machines. Mm. We also want to make sure that all the resources they need to have access to, so shares they need to have access to, all the printers that we've got published into AD, all those resources that we currently, we rely on AD as a back end for, are still going to be available for those users to be able to get access to. And then as well as that, I want to try and make it as easy as possible. So, it's ease of actually doing it. So ease of administration, make sure that as administrators, we have as easy process as we can. Now, in the previous session, Pierre, when he looked at doing the AD migration from 2003, there was a whole bunch of command line involved, that sort of thing, to be able to put it into place. Mm. Not really a lot that you need to do from going from a 2008 environment across to a 2003.
Oh, sorry, 2012.
Right. Yeah, exactly. we have to do... I was going to say we have to do one thing in the command line, but to be honest, we don't even have to do that. If we're just doing AD, an AD migration, we actually don't even need to run the first command that we'll run. Mm. And we'll discuss that when we get to it. But yeah, so that's the idea. We want to try and make it as simple as possible. Mm. So let's have a look at the requirements, the things that we actually need to have. So, the things we need to have on hand before we actually get to the process of doing it. And it's important with this, it is a planned process. It's not something that you wake up one Monday morning, go into work and go, today we're going to do migration.
But I remember teaching the Windows 2000 migration course, and I swear the video was like that.
Yes, I remember that same video, but you've got to make sure that you do plan ahead with these things, right? So you've got to make sure that you've got all the bits and pieces available that you need to have As well as that, like having some sort of knowledge of what your actual environment is as well. And the reason I kind of mentioned that is because this is sort of one of those things that if you don't, like, you know, if you don't have that plan in place, if you're migrating from an existing environment, something that's been around for an extended period of time, your documentation may be all sorts of out of place, you know? So you want to make sure that you actually get that sort of thing put into place and ready to go as well. All right, so first off, we need to make sure that we've got a copy of the Windows Server 2012 R2 Media.
Well, that would help.
Well, you know, it's worth a shot. Now, obviously, we're going to need that anyway for when we go to do our server installs, but we particularly need to have that available on our domain controllers, our existing domain controllers, so that we can then use those to be able to do an upgrade from.
Yep.
Okay. So domain controllers, we need to make sure that we've got the like the functional levels, that sort of thing. Like they're going to be set at 2003, more than likely as a default anyway. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to do as a part of the process is we can go and migrate those. So we can actually go and raise those up. Now, the reason that we'd look at doing domain functional levels, forest functional levels, raising those in, like, you know, is simply so that we then have all the goodness that comes along.
Absolutely right. And you'd be surprised at how much goodness you get. For those people that are still in, you know, a 2003 forest or domain mode, you are seriously missing out. I mean, fine-grained password policies are one of my favourite things. So you know how you get all of those users, and in your organisation you think, we are going to have a really, really powerful, complex password policy. We're going to, you know, it's going to be 12 characters. We're going to change it every 5 minutes. We're going to have, you know, complexity requirements. Fantastic. And of course, you've got the sign off for that right up to the top of management. And then they've gone, yes, we need this. Oh, hang on, not me.
That's right. Doesn't apply to me.
Doesn't apply to me. No. The best thing I can do is pretty much remember the name of my cat.
That's right.
Sorry, I can't possibly.
And potentially the month.
Yes. Whereas fine-grained password policies, just give a different password policy to any group you like. Fantastic.
The other one that I really like that's come along like in like 2012 and 2012 R2 is the idea of being able to use the group managed service accounts. Like, you know, having a service account which is actually a service account as opposed to an account that we've declared as being a service account.
Yes.
You know, so you end up having like something you've installed, System Center as an example, and it's working fine, and then suddenly after 30 days it stops working.
I couldn't understand what that'd be.
What that is.
Yeah. Or the infamous user must change password at next login.
That's right.
You probably never got it installed anyway, but never mind.
That's the sort of thing that we want to try, that you can avoid by using some of the new functionality, like sort of, you know, using some of that specialized environment. Mm. So the other thing you need to make sure you have is you've got a really good knowledge of what your current environment is. So that's, you know, looking at documentation you currently have. And I always find that in our industry, documentation is often a four-letter word. Like it's something that we put off.
The doco.
Yeah, well, there you go. It is a four-letter word. I never actually thought of that. But it then means that sort of that it's also something that maybe gets written once but never gets updated.
Absolutely.
So at the point of time of doing a migration, like sort of because it can have such a large impact, and we're going to be touching so many of the servers when we start doing this. Like, you know, if you've got multiple domain controllers, that sort of thing, you're going to have to know where they are to be able to do the migration. You're going to have to be able to identify them, look who, you know, what location, etc. So make sure that you have some really good current documentation. Now, really good tool for doing that, like if you don't have anything, you know, or if you've got something that you think is horribly out of date. And it was referenced earlier, like the Microsoft Assessment and Planning tool. Mm. So MAP gives you, it goes out and it finds everything for you. Mm. You know, like I've had customers before that have actually found servers that they didn't know they had because someone had left it turned on. It had been sitting, like, you know, stuck in a corner somewhere. And no one, like, you know, everyone just ignored it. It was running, but they didn't know what it was. All right, so that, like, that's sort of the ground rules, the things that we have to have before we progress through. Okay, so then let's have a look now at what the process is. So how we actually move, like do the migration. What's the sort of steps that we've got put into place? So the first one is Active Directory migration. So doing the preparation for it. So, you know, preparing your forest. So
what does that mean?
Well, essentially what it is, like, so if you think about it, if you think what we're trying to do when we go to do an update to AD or anything like that, or any of the sort of, you know, the things that are adding additional functionality in, what we've got is we've got currently a set of rules and knowledge that Active Directory has, okay? Also known as the schema, right?
Schema. Starting to sweat already.
So basically what the schema has is the schema has the knowledge of what we need to have, of what's available. And therefore all the different properties that are held within AD all contain within there. So if we then start going, yeah, well, we've got a new 2012 environment, new 2012 R2, the server we want to plonk in, and we want to make, we want to, you know, promote everything up to that. Well, then it means that our DCs, our previous DCs, aren't going to know what the new functionality is. Mm. So therefore, that's why we need to do the forest prep.
Okay. So essentially, the term schema change,
comes
into effect. And look, honestly, everybody, we're not in Windows 2000 anymore, so can we please let go of the IT department departmental clench when anyone says schema change? It's going to be all right. Just give it time to replicate.
Well, that's important though, to make sure that you do have that time to be able to have it replicate. Mm. Because and again, this is that thing, you don't want to do it straight away. You don't want to have everything, this is what I'm doing, and then, you know, Monday morning, let's go. Mm. It is a process, a planning process. So, you know, like sort of Pierre was talking earlier about, you know, doing a migration process, you know, taking up to about 200 days for that sort of thing to occur. Part of that, at least when you're doing your AD, is waiting for that replication to go. Now, it's not going to take 200 days for replication to occur.
You would hope.
if it is, then you've got other problems, right? So, we want to make sure that all of our domain controllers have got the schema replication before we start moving on.
Mm.
Okay. Now you can check the schema process, see what the actual value is. And as we run the forest prep, you'll actually see the schema values. And it's like, the first time that I ran this, I've run this command forest prep a whole heap of times. And there was one time I actually sat down and looked at it while it was going, rather than just going, oh, there's a command line that's flicking up. And then it kind of dawned on me that what was happening was that it's actually an incremental upgrade.
Mm.
So you actually can see the schema count go from 49, I think, from memory up to 69 in what we're doing here. So you can actually see it as it builds up.
Yes.
So what you then want to do is you want to make sure that when you go to your other Active Directory domain controllers, so when you go to the other domain controllers, you can have a look at a registry key. So the registry key is on the slide that I've got up on here, rather than having to call it out completely, but it's a local machine, you know, so basically going down to the parameters under NTDS.
We've all been to the registry before.
Exactly. Oh, sorry, are we supposed to do that warning, you know, the warning?
I can't remember what it is, but... You know.
yeah. Warning, touching the registry may be, you know, like maybe illegal
that's,
in some states.
That's right.
And then, so once we've got that put into place, and we've made sure that the replication's occurred. Now, replication, if everything's working well, should really take about 90 minutes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, but do that sanity check. Go and make sure that it has actually replicated. Then promote one of your 2012 machines.
Mm.
So basically go in. Now, for those that have previously done, you know, promotions of domain controllers and are now going, I know, we'll run DC promo.
Will you?
No.
Give that a go and see what happens to you.
Yeah. Good luck. it is a different process, right? So, like, we've now moved on from using DC Promo. Like, sort of, over the last couple of versions of Windows, DC Promo has kind of had less and less responsibility to what we're using. So, yeah, so we're not using DC Promo anymore. We're actually doing everything via the GUI to be able to put this into place. Or we can use PowerShell and that sort of thing to be able to do it as well. So,
jeez, getting excited already.
I know. And then once we put that into place, we then need to go and do all the FISMO roles as well.
FISMO?
FISMO. Now, it's the file system management operations. So, I don't know.
I wouldn't have dumped that on you.
No.
Or a single master operations role. They're particularly important, as Kyle's going to tell us.
Yeah, I can never remember what it is, but I know it's FISMO.
It's funny how you know acronyms by the way those acronyms sound, and then when someone actually says, what does it mean, you're like, I call it a FISMO.
Yeah, that's right.
I know what they do.
I know what they do, but, you know, so yes. So essentially what the FISMO roles are going to do for us, they hold the responsibility of the different roles within our environment. So that's been the case ever since we've had AD. In any way, shape or form, we've had different roles that are put into place. So for instance, we've got someone who's like a DC who's responsible for, being the manager of the schema, as an example. We've still got things like where we've got RID masters, we've got, the person who's responsible for the time sync in the domain. So we need to make sure that all of those roles are actually taken away from any of our existing 2008 domain controllers before we start turning those off, because otherwise we can be in a fair amount of strife.
Exactly.
So now with that, it's a pull process. So therefore, it means that we actually have to go to whatever server it is that we've said we're going to put that onto, and then pull that responsibility onto it. Mm. So just bear that in mind. All right. So that's the first part, preparing it. Then the other thing that's part of doing our migration is, if we're doing a full migration, the infrastructure roles. So now Pierre sort of covered across some of that with regards to doing DNS and DHCP, DNS and DHCP migration, as well as the print migration, that sort of thing. So core to Active Directory, is the idea of having to do our DNS. So DNS is sort of the glue that makes sure that AD actually works. Mm. If that goes down, then again, we're in a fair amount of strife. Mm. So if we've got AD, if DNS is actually integrated with an Active Directory, it's very easy. Basically, everything is all put in place for us. Mm. The only thing that we need to make sure, the way I kind of term it is that AD does all the heavy lifting for us. Like, it's the one that does all the replication, that sort of thing. When you go to do an install of a new domain controller, it's going to by default go, hey, look, you want to be a DNS server as well, so that we can then use, piggyback off what we've already got in place. Mm. The main thing to make sure of that catches a lot of people out is making sure that as we start migrating our DNS, we also migrate the settings for the clients and servers mm. to that. So now, if we're using DHCP, so for all of our DHCP environment, nice and easy. Basically, just modify the DHCP lease and make sure that DHCP lease has actually got the new entries to the new DNS server. Mm. Now, if we're using static entries, that's a little bit more problematic, because the static entries, we need to go and make manual changes. Or if you wanted to be kind of tricky and it just takes a little bit more work, is to actually have the same IP address, right? Mm. Once you've stood it up. Mm. So, but obviously with that, it's very certainly very doable for your DNS to be able to point to the DNS servers. But the trick is to make sure that, say, for instance, you don't have two machines on the network at the same time with the same network with the same IP address, because otherwise, that bad things happen.
Exactly.
Right? So, but yeah, and then transfer DHCP. And again, DHCP, from what it's previously been in a 2003 environment to now what it is in 2008 to 2012, pretty simple, right? So essentially, we've got two commands that we use. We've got an export DHCP server command that we run on the old DHCP server, which then exports all the DHCP data out. And then we go to the new one.
Yep.
And the new one is just simply an import DHCP server. So no real challenge within there, but it's just making sure that we actually have the leases right and that sort of thing. And the whole reason why we worry about doing, or why we care about doing DHCP, one of the things that people I've often had people say, well, if we do DHCP, really we're just, it's just the addresses that we're pulling across. So DHCP is going to auto-renew those anyway.
Mm.
But if we don't migrate across, if we're still using if we're using the same address range, which we more than likely will be, then the risk is, of course, that we're going to have an address handed out to a client mm. that already exists somewhere else on a different client. So therefore, that's the reason why we kind of care about it as such. Mm. So once we've done that, once we've put all the information in, we then unauthorize the old DHCP server.
Mm-hmm.
And strictly speaking, what you would do is you'd probably do you'd unauthorize it, then do your export, then do your import, and then authorize the new one. And but if you're doing that during a weekday, just be aware that you're potentially going to have people that don't get an address during that process.
That's right.
So this is really the main thing that you need to make sure that you do after hours. Yeah? The rest of it we can kind of fudge around mm. during an in hours sort of environment. And then the final sort of process is actually going and doing a demotion. So demoting out doing our old DHCP server, or sorry, our old AD servers, mm-hmm. and pulling those out of place.
Absolutely.
And that's where we use DC Promo.
Mm.
Now, when we run DC Promo, just make sure that you don't take the option of domain controller in the domain.
Oh, no.
I remember there was once I was doing a demo of this particular process, and I went to click on that. And luckily, there was actually a kind person in the audience who went, no! And I looked at it again and went, oh, yeah, no, that's not what I wanted. And then, of course, like the DNS, like as part of doing that DC promo, all the entries in DNS that refer to that Active Directory domain controller as being a domain controller get removed automatically.
Exactly.
For us. So we still might need to go and do some cleanup, and that's the thing, like of not DNS records, but say, for instance, afterwards, once we've pulled the machine out, we might want to take it completely out of the network, in which case we, you know, pull it out of the domain as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we take it offline so that it can, you know, we never want to sort of bring it back again. Mm. But the idea of sort of doing it in a graceful fashion like that, rather than just simply moving all the roles off and then turning it off, is so that the domain knows that that DC doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
So. Alrighty. So, a couple of sort of handy hints, like Kyle's handy hints for this, right? So, remember to plan. Mm. Make sure you plan this, right? So, document what you're doing. Make sure that you have backups of, you know, so do a backup of the domain before you kick this off. Make sure you have backups all along the process as well, like sort of, you know, with your DHCP, obviously you're going to export that out, so you can have a backup of that. I would probably even maybe do some eDNS stuff, DNS records as well, back
Absolutely.
Those out.
Absolutely.
And with this, like, you know, make sure that you do it in a patient fashion. Don't rush the process, because if you do, like, you know, it's similar to what you were saying, like, sort of in the earlier, like, in the WSUS environment, like, sort of, you know, there's a lot of things that step by step. If you don't do it in that correct order, then the problem is that it'll fall over, and if it falls over, then bad things will happen. Same within here. Like, if you try and, you know, like, if you skip a step, or if you don't wait for, you know, for the replication to occur, that sort of thing, then you might get stuck halfway between processes, and therefore, you know, kind of have to make sure that you roll back before you move forward, that sort of thing. So don't rush this. As I said, like, sort of, you know, take the time to be able to make sure that everything is finished before you then move on to the next step. Okay. And yeah, make sure that all the, you know, the various different processes finish before you move on to the next step. Mm. So, you know, like, it is one of those things. It does just require a little bit of patience to make sure that we actually, you know, make our way through it.
Mm, cool.
All right, so let's have a look, see what it actually looks like in process.
So this will be the part where we get to tap dance while you're doing your forest prep, is it not?
Well, no. Here's one that I prepared earlier.
Oh,
as he says.
Peter Russell Clark. Nice.
Of course, my screen's timed out, so I've got to log into it.
And just for Oren Thomas's benefit, that was a second Peter Russell Clark, mate.
There you go. Actually, well, technically it was the third. Now you're up to four.
Oh, let's not go there. Starting to feel like Doctor Who.
All right, so make sure I'm on the right... that's not the machine that I wanted. I wanted my client machine. Now, I kind of try and do a lot of this within the actual client, like within the client machine itself. And the reason being, because that's where we should be doing all of our work from, right? You know, like, sort of... And the idea being that we can do a lot of our work remotely using Server Manager.
Absolutely.
Okay. So with Server Manager, one of the interesting things that you know, for those, particularly those that are migrating from, you know, from previous versions of Windows across, you know, kind of you look at things like Server Manager and go, well, it is all kind of new, like, from, you know, from previous sort of, you know, tools and that sort of thing. Like, you know, where we used to go and install all the tools, asset tools. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, thank you. Mine was going blank. Not enough coffee. So now the interesting thing within here, like, sort of by default, like, you know, you look, there's nothing really listed in here.
That's right.
So, right. So what we need to do first off, we go and add some servers in, and I'm going to go and find, I've got a whole bunch of servers that I can go and do management of. Okay. Now, If my 2008 and 2000 my 2008 machines, in order for those to show up into here, I've had to have done a little bit of work to start off with. Mm. I've had to go on and install the .NET framework into there. I've also had to go and put into place, like, things like the Windows Remote Management, etc.
Exactly.
Now, notice though that when I've added those in, and this is one of the cool sort of, like, just things you don't really think about with Server Manager, when I've put that in, it's automatically populated all the different roles that live on the different servers, like, throughout my environment.
I've sort of become used to that now, but it's interesting when you show that to someone who's never seen it before, they get quite excited by it, and it becomes what you expect, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You don't really see it. You just kind of go, oh, okay, well, that's what it does. Like, I don't know why you're so excited by that. All right, but you can see in here where I've got, Active Directory, and I've got a couple of domain controllers written here. I've got DHCP living on one of my domain controllers and DNS living on a separate one. Okay. And if I jump into Active Directory users' computers, just to kind of show what we've got into here, where I can see the functional level that I'm sitting at.
Yep.
Okay. And let me go into my advanced features. I've got my operations manager. All the roles currently live out on my 2008 domains, mm-hmm. My 2008 DCs. Now, it's important to make sure that you check those things like that. Go and have a look at things like the schema master, etc., and make sure that they're where you know they are. So these are all documented as part of our process. Mm. Okay. All right. So now that I know that and I've documented that, I've written it down in very clear and concise format. Obviously, everyone will notice that I did that. Let's jump back over to here. I'm going to run my forest prep. Okay. So when I go to run that command, the reason I can run this command currently is just simply because I have actually put this into place already. Like, I've already put, I've copied onto this drive. I've copied the Windows 2012 bits, so I've got them available. And let me just put that up to full screen before Larry says something. I know he will. He always does. All right, so now, there's a lot of sort of warnings that come along with this, making sure that, hey, you sure you really want to do what you're going to do? It's like, yes, okay. Now, the main thing within here, when we start doing this, we want to make sure that we are, that we don't have any domain controllers which are running 2000.
please tell us you don't.
I've actually had a couple of folk come through some of the courses that I do that are still running 2000 domain controllers. I actually had someone who, scarily enough, was still running a couple of NT.
Wow.
Kind of like, really?
Oh.
So you'll notice that what's happened here, it's gone right, it's 47 is the current value, and it's going to upgrade it to 69. And this is what I was saying, that what we'll see, and we're not going to finish the whole process because I've got I've got the cooking show. Here's one we prepared earlier. But I just want to show, once it does get kicked on, that we can actually see the process as it moves through, that it actually does count up through the schema versions. Mm. Almost there.
See, there it is. See, schema 48.ldf
file. Yep. So then what you'll see is you'll see that actually go every particular, every level.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, good. We're happy?
Happy as.
All right. Excellent. So here's a snapshot that I prepared earlier. where's my little tool?
Oh, like that.
Can
I have that?
For those that are now in the chat room looking, going, can I? What? it's a little PowerShell commandlet, like the GUI.
Yeah, it's a wrapper.
GUI wrapper for PowerShell.
Lovely.
That basically does a whole heap of applying, and you can see a whole bunch of snapshots that I've got here. So if I was going to go and apply each one of those once, that would be that would take a while. All right, so. Here we go, look, it's done.
Oh, marvellous.
Now, of course, as you've noticed, as part of that process, it actually changed the font. But, so please don't show me this again. Right. So you'll see that although it hasn't captured it, it has captured it.
Excellent.
So, basically what we want to see is we want to make sure that the command has gone successfully. Mm-hmm. The other thing you'll notice that at each point as it's gone up through the schema, there's more entries that are being added in.
Yes.
And that's the more knowledge that AD has as each process goes through, right? So basically, we want to make sure that we get to that point, everything's worked. Mm-hmm. So once we've got that put in place, happy, happy. Okay. So now, obviously, we'd want to make sure that replication occurred throughout the entire domain before we move on to the next step. Okay. Of course, this one's now locked down again. Right.
Right. I had a dollar for every time I've typed that password.
Me too. All right. Oh, and apparently I didn't save it with the servers added in, so get to see that excitement again. Just bear with me. Add that in. All right. So now I've got all the servers in place. Hopefully this is going to all come up. Okay. So now what I need to do before I go any further is I need to make sure that I then add in the role of Active Directory. Okay. So I'm going to do it on for both the servers. So I'm going to add in the role of Active Directory Domain Controller, or Domain Services, I should say, which is our base for Active Directory. Okay. And I'm going to type in, put into the do the restart. And again, if you're coming from a 2003 environment, as an example, from your migration process, this is all pretty exciting as well. You know, like all the now the GUI tools for being able to add in roles and that sort of thing. That's kind of a little bit.
I love the way you can do that to an offline VHD as well, which I think
yes.
is fantastic.
Yep. The other thing that I really like is like that you know, as we've progressed through different versions of Windows, there's been different amounts that you can do before things actually need a reboot.
Mm.
And now there's actually, I find there's very few roles now that actually require a reboot in order for it to come into place. You know, like, and I still remember the NT4 days where, you know, you'd open up a network configuration panel, and we go, hey, you looked at that.
Yeah.
You need to restart. What?
You look at the server sideways. Oh.
So basically, like that feature will go ahead and do install. And so I've got one on server 20, like on my 2012 DC. That'll then do a reboot. And again, not going to sort of sit here and watch it do reboots and that sort of thing, because that's far less than exciting. But we'll see sort of progress that's going over here, where I've got a machine that is currently. Come back up again. So yeah, so it's at that point. All right. So again, let's go and do a quick fast forward into the future. So this is sort of after everything's actually done, reboots, etc., and you know they've made sure that AD is actually healthy. Yeah, and the idea is like sort of you want to make sure that has completed before you move on to the next process again. So again, go into my client, which is, and what's basically happened is it keeps on, like the security keeps on timing out on it. Yep. That's why it does that. Mm-hmm. So then what you'll see once it's actually finished is in here, you'll then see that there's two jobs with new notifications. So click on more in there and you'll then see that, look, we need to do some configuration. So although we've put the bits into place, we haven't actually gone any further, right? So, and again, sort of fast forward a little bit through here. Add it to an existing domain, because it's the Contoso domain that we want to put into place. Put in our
Yes, the amount of times I've misspelt administrator as well. So I used to work for a company, they actually created a domain administrative account called Administrator for me.
I love it. All right, so now notice the default setting that's put into here, right, is that by default, DNS is going to get installed. Okay, by default, as well as that, everything becomes a global catalog. So therefore, whereas previously we used to kind of have to think about which one are we going to put it to being, you know, like GCs, that sort of thing. Now it's just all being done for us. Okay, you can obviously go and change that as much as you please.
Oh.
No thanks. I keep on pressing the shift key at the same time as one of my characters. All right. So now, the other thing, if you are still 2003 environment, you might want to go on and have a look at what a read-only domain controller is and whether it might be useful for your environment. Okay. So DNS, obviously if we've got, you know, external DNS servers, that's something that's going to be important for us. For install for media, particularly important if we do have a domain controller that we're upgrading that's in a remote location. You know, so rather than being that we're actually going to pull across the network, we could do it as a local install and be able to take it from an export that we've gone from a local box. Okay, but otherwise, in this case, it's from any DC that we're going to put this from. Obviously, all the standard paths that we're going to put into place. And then, this is the cool bit, right?
Ooh.
So once I've done it once, I could then take this and then run this as a script against all my other domain controllers rather than using the GUI environment. So, but yeah, we're just going to do it in here at the moment. And wait for the next part. So it's doing the prereq check. Depending on what the server is, now bearing in mind this is a virtual machine that we're running this in, so therefore it's going to be looking at some things within there. It's also going to say, look, you know, the DNS, as it warned us through earlier. Mm-hmm. But as you rightly pointed out before, like sort of with 2012 R2, fully supported to run a DC within virtual machine now, so that's always a good thing. Okay, and then effectively we're just going to click on install there. And I do that same process across my other server.
Nice.
And wait for everything to come on board. Okay, so again, let's fast forward into the future. In fact, I'm going to go on to after my FISMO roles, so my next snapshot in. And the reason being because the next part of doing it is basically to go and take ownership of all the FISMO roles and make sure that settles down. Mm-hmm. What's FISMO stand for again?
Forest Single Master Operations.
There you go. I won't. I'm glad I asked the question because I still don't remember. Although, if there's the questions that go along with this as a course within the Microsoft Virtual Academy, might be a really good question to put into there. All right, so NetDom query FISMO is the one that we need to be able to run. Now, what that does is that's actually going to be the query that then gives us the results. And let me just move this up. It's funny how, like, sort of the default thing that we want to put things to make them look clearer.
Yes.
Is the old school way. All right, so now what the NetDom query does is it basically goes out and it looks at all of the roles and makes sure, like, and will list where these are. So it's really nice, really good way to be able to work out where the different roles actually live.
Absolutely.
And you know, as to whether there's actually something that we need to be able to, like, to move. One of the other things just to make note of is that one of the things that you don't see by default is the schema master. So, like, that schema master doesn't exist as a as something you'll see in tools management by default. Mm. So what you need to do is you actually need to, in fact, it doesn't even show after you've made this, but you need to register the DLL that goes along with it. So.
And I will point out that I have just been corrected on the stream. It is flexible single master operation. I've always called it Forest for the last...
There you go.
For the last 14 years, which is a little bit embarrassing.
Oh dear. All right, so the last part within there is just DNS. Right, so with DNS, as I said, basically all the heavy lifting is being done for us via Active Directory. Mm-hmm. Okay, so because all these machines here already have DNS put into place, just because the restart, I was looking, there's an error there, but that's okay. It's just because the refresh. Because DNS is already put into place for us, essentially what we need to do is we need to make sure that all of your machines are configured to point to the new DNS servers. So, you know, like, and again, if you're doing the same addresses with your DNS, then just, you know, be cautious with how you sort of do your changeover. Mm. But then, yeah, make sure that we then migrate that process. You know, so like, and the migrate of the process really at that point, once you've got everything pointing in the right direction, is really just to disable DNS.
Yep.
You know, and really, you don't even have to do that. Like, if DNS is still running on this machine, who cares? Mm. Because we're not going to be referring to it. Mm. You know, we're pointing at something else. And it's going to get teared down as part of doing the DC promo anyway later on. So we could then do DNS modification. And now the other one is DHCP, right? So DHCP is probably the more important one to make sure that we get right, because there's more to it. Where am I? Hyper-V is what I want. So the machine that I've currently got is DNS, I think, from memory, or DHCP is this one. Okay. Just make sure that I've got that right. So that's my DHCP server.
Yep.
So essentially what I need to do is make sure that what I ideally would do is I'd go through to my DHCP to start off with, and prior to doing my to making my change, I'd actually go and change the migration process. Mm-hmm. I'd actually go into here. I'd do some of the changes of, say, for instance, the DNS server.
Yes.
So point the DNS server to actually pointing to the right location.
Yep.
So that it's then going to be pointing to my new DNS servers. And hopefully, you know, if we do this as a an overarching process, then it means that by the time we get to the tearing down DHCP, putting the new one in place, all the DNS settings have already been put over. Mm. Right. So that's the sort of the first bit that you need to make sure that you get right. Okay. You also then need to make sure that you've got DHCP installed as a role. So that was the other thing that I haven't done yet. So let me go and put DHCP as a role onto server. Now, the other thing that I really love about the new add features and add roles and features is that when you click on something, if there's something that's required, it automatically goes, hey, do you want that as well?
No, I love that. I remember many, many frustrating years of installing SMS 2003.
Yep.
Which would install beautifully and then not work when you hadn't put the prerequisites in.
Yep. Now, the really important thing with regards to doing the DHCP installation. So DHCP doesn't require a restart. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those roles that just goes over the top. But the important thing is that you might be tempted to go and start doing configuration of it once you've put this into place. But once the feature's installed, don't touch it, because what we're going to do is we're going to use our PowerShell, like our commands, to be able to do that process for us. Okay, so that's done. It's configured. It's in, or it's in, I should say. Now, and if we have a look up in here, you'll see that there's some post-deployment configuration required for the DHCP server. As I said, don't touch it. Can you let Jeff know that I'm presenting now? Radio. So, and I can do this all from like from one location as well. Oh dear. So what I mean by doing it from one location, I can do it from the single screen, from the single command. So I can actually do that from within my PowerShell commandlet, my PowerShell window, in order to be able to put this in. Right, okay, so now first off I need to have somewhere to be able to put it, so I'm just going to make directory, see, export, so I've got somewhere to be able to go from, okay, and then export DHCP server, point to a computer name, make sure I get the right computer name. Also, don't put spaces in where I don't need to put spaces.
Oh, yes. Been there, done that.
And then where I'm going to put it out to. So in this case, I'm going to put it out to my export, which has now gone off the page. Now, it gets put out as an XML file. Mm-hmm. And you can call it whatever you like, so I'm just going to call it a XML. So what I've done there is I've just done verbose, so it actually gives us some feedback as it's going.
Excellent.
Does a whole heap of feedback like that.
Look at that. Look at beautiful. That.
Fantastic. Now, the really good thing is now, same command, like same page that we do it, to be able to then import DHCP server. In this case, I'm going to move it across into my new the new server that I've just added DHCP to. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying to bring all the leases in, so that's really what I'm saying into here. And again, where the file is that it's going from, so it's going from C export DHCP. The backup path basically just sort of, you know, is where it does the backup of what's currently in there, just in case we need it.
Yeah, just in case it all goes wrong.
Yep, yep. So. And again, doesn't really matter what we put, like, you know, that path is just one that I've made up. So. Okay. Make sure that it goes, yeah, are you sure? Yes, at which point you go, no, I didn't mean that. Now, the interesting thing is you look at some of these things and it kind of looks as though it didn't work.
Like, yes.
Because,
oh, yes.
Like, you know, like you look at this and you go, well, there was this thing was in here and it already existed and I didn't change it. And that just means that there was something, there was values that didn't need to be modified compared to what the import was. Okay. But basically what that means now is that I can then go into my DHCP console, add in... needs to refresh before like all the new server and that sort of thing will actually appear. But
should work.
Okay. Yeah, that should be enough.
Or did you go to two? Have you put one in?
Or I did, you're right. I put one. Thank you. Right. So no, it's found it. It's not gonna do much.
No.
It's gone. All right, well whatever. The other reason why it won't show up in here at the moment, because at the moment, currently it's not an authorized server either. Because I've just done the import of it. So therefore, it's not authorized.
Yep.
My other one is still. So I come into here and I unauthorize that one. And then authorize the other one. Now, postpone. So I'm going to authorize that. Now, this takes a little bit of time to refresh as well. So one of the things that I find, like, sort of, you know, if you really want to push it through, you can just restart the service, and that then convinces it that, yeah, actually, you're probably right. So then that's deauthorized. We want to make sure that this one's up and displaying properly, so restart that. And then we've now got a new DHCP server that's up and running, handing out addresses. And importantly, the the leases that we currently have still exist. So that's the main reason why we bother about doing that. Okay. So the next thing to do, and we won't run through it because it just takes a while to be able to do, and really it's just running DC promo on the old servers, pulls that back out, and that then brings them offline. And it's easy as that to be able to do our migration.
Love it.
So what did we look at? We looked at the challenges, so making sure that, you know, what we need to have put into place, the requirements, and then also went step by step through that process. All right. So I think we're good to go. We're going to have a quick break in between now and the next session. The next session is, sort of taking everything that we've got on-prem and looking at how to then move that out to the cloud, so moving out to Azure. So basically how to take one of your existing servers and put it into Azure. So we'll see you back after the break.
Awesome.
Yeah.